What up, what up, what up, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's Golden Boy, Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 317. Episode 317 of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. But first and foremost, Happy New Year. Happy, happy New Year. 2024 is here. Listen, my last episode was last month. Last month. There were some weeks that I tried to drop episodes, that I tried to record, but it's been hectic. It's been very much hectic. When I thought about recording, I just got basically tied up with other engagements. But now, this episode here, I definitely had to dig deep and come up with something on this one because and record something because, whew. In less than a little over 24 hours, we've had three legendary head coaches in football either announce their retirement or they have parted ways with franchises that they were with for a decade and change. Coach Bill Belichick, Coach Nick Saban, and Coach Pete Carroll. All three of these are future football Hall of Fame head coaches. Well, Pete Carroll and Coach Belichick for sure, because they are definitely going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Nick Saban, I don't think he's going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame because when he did have a stint, didn't pan out too well. But just off what he did alone in Alabama is crazy. So I'm going to dive into those things. I'm going to dive into the NFL playoffs that's about to start this weekend. And whatever flips off the tongue, that's what it's going to be. Because again, I'm back. It's been a month since I last recorded. So I want to shake off the dust and get back into the recording realm. But yes, again, we have three legendary coaches calling it quits. Now, out of all three of them, let me get to the one that I kind of seen coming, and that was Coach Belichick. There have been rumblings for a few weeks now that this might be his last go in New England. And with the season that the Patriots have had, with the personnel decisions that Coach Belichick has made in the past years, obviously the creme de la creme was to not have Tom Brady back and him leave New England to go to Tampa. No need to dwell into that, but I'm going to bring that up later on when I get to the crux of this. But to wake up this morning to an ESPN alert, and it said that New England Patriots and Bill Belichick have agreed to part ways. When I tell you that it was shocking, it was shocking. Now again, this season, there have been rumors, right? There were even rumors saying that how they would probably part ways just from a front office standpoint, as far as get somebody in New England to make personnel decisions while Coach Belichick just does the head coaching work. But to wake up this morning and to find out that Coach Belichick and Mr. Robert Kraft have decided to mutually agree to part ways, I was definitely shocked for that. Because even a part of me was still saying, that, okay, he's been with this team for 24 years. I don't see him going somewhere else. You know, I definitely see him ending his career in New England. That's what I was initially thinking. Now, that last game against the Jets probably didn't help the case. Now, yes, it was bad weather, snowing like hell. But that was a horrible loss that Coach Belichick took on his last game out. It's crazy that he loses his last game in Foxborough, and so did Tom Brady. They both lost their last game in Foxborough. But I'm not gonna sit here and say I'm sad, because again, y'all know, for those of y'all that don't know, my loyalty was to Tom Brady. Was I a Patriot fan? Yes, I was, but it was more so because of Tom Brady. My loyalty was to Tom. I was a Tom Brady fan since he was at Michigan, so my loyalty was to him. It wasn't really to Coach Belichick or to the Patriots. Do I believe he's the greatest head coach in NFL history? You better believe I do. You better believe I do. But at the same token, we cannot sit here and act like his coaching career has been on a decline since Tom Brady has left. We can't sit here and act that way. At the end of the day, before Tom Brady became a player on his team, Coach Belichick was average as a head coach, just to be nice. It wasn't until he got Tom Brady to where he became what he became. I'm not taking away his defensive genius. Might be the greatest defensive coach in the history of the NFL. We all remember the two Super Bowl victories with the Giants as the defensive coordinator when Bill Parcells was the head coach. So he already had two Super Bowl rings at his disposal already for the, you know, for the New York Giants. He then becomes a head coach for the New England Patriots. But, you know, there were some stints in between where he was the head coach for the Cleveland Browns, got them to the playoffs 1 year, was supposed to be the head coach for the New York Jets. I think a day or so, or whatever, the shit fell through. And then, bam, he winds up landing in New England as the head coach for the Patriots. Now, at the end of the day, we can say that he's the greatest head coach in NFL history. But when you look back at his career, there are going to be, for me, three blemishes on his career. The first blemish will be Spygate. We all remember that. The year that the Patriots had that historic regular season perfect record where they went 16 and 0. I believe it was the first week or the second week of the season where there were rumblings that the New England Patriots were videotaping, you know, opponents's, you know, walkthroughs, you know, practices, or whatever the case may be. And I think Eric Mangini, who was a Bill Belichick disciple, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was, I believe he was an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator for Coach Belichick for some time in New England. He leaves, he takes the New York Jets job, and he basically said that, you know, I know what you know, did with other teams, but just don't do it to me. What did Coach Belichick did? Said, fuck that. I'm still gonna do it. So, you know, it was rumblings ever since then, throughout the whole season, that the Patriots were cheating, to the point where New England wanted to send a message, where Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Rex Welker, you know, Dante Stallworth, and that defense with Teddy Bruschi, Junior Seau, Rodney Harrison, Wentz Winfork, they wanted to send a message by blowing out opponents. They want to send a message throughout the whole entire league that what we were doing were legit. So that's one blemish already with Spygate. We then get to Deflategate. I believe it was the AFC Championship game. And what was it? I think 2014. I think they played the Indianapolis Colts. It was raining. Come to find out, the footballs were deflated in the first quarter. Second half, the Patriots just basically ran the ball and shoved it down the coach's throat and then wound up winning the game and going to the Super Bowl. Who took the fall for the Deflategate? It was Tom Brady. Because at the end of the day, you know, him being the quarterback, you have people out there that's going to say, there's no way that he didn't know that those balls were going to be uninflated. There's no way. You're a quarterback. You know, that's the most important position in all of sports. There's no way you're going to sit there and say that you did not know that these footballs were uninflated. Quarterbacks like, you know, this is going to be a big pause when I say this. They like their footballs to be a certain way. Easy to grip, yada, yada, yada. I don't even sound right saying this shit because the shit is a hell of a pause. Stay focused. But at the end of the day, you're going to have people out there that say there's no way he didn't know that these footballs were uninflated. And then I believe it was Super Bowl weekend. I think it was against the Seahawks. I think this was the Super Bowl where they played the Seahawks. And Bill Belichick was being asked about it. And he basically threw Tom Brady under the bus. He said, that wasn't me. You got to ask the quarterback. Some shit like that. I'm paraphrasing, but he was basically deflecting it off himself and putting the attention on Tom Brady. Long story short, Brady gets suspended for 4 games. I think he got suspended the first 4 games. They still wind up going to the Super Bowl, but they lose to the Eagles. But even so, so that's 2 blemishes on Coach Belichick's watch. And then we get to the big one. And that would be Tom Brady being ousted out of New England. Because regardless to what anybody says, if Bill Belichick would have wanted to keep Tom Brady, you best believe Tom Brady would have never went to Tampa. He never would have went to Tampa. Never. But the thing was, Coach Belichick wanted to start anew, you can say. At this time, the Patriots were already on 6 Super Bowls. Him and Brady had all this time together. So, of course, the rumblings around the media world, the sports media world, was who was more responsible for the Patriots' success? Was it Tom Brady or was it Coach Belichick? That was the reason that Coach Belichick, in my opinion, I think he wanted to part ways with Tom Brady. I think he wanted to show that he can win without Brady. I truly believe that's what he wanted. Because at the end of the day, you can't say that Brady was washed up. You can't say that Brady was falling off a cliff because he still was putting up good numbers. He still was putting up good numbers. I just felt that Coach Belichick, deep down inside, was tired of all the talk about who was more responsible for the Patriots' success. Was it him or Tom? And he said, you know what? I want to try something new. I don't want him no more. I want to stick with the quarterbacks I have now. I want to start anew. And how did that play out? Now, what made this situation even worse, in my opinion, was not only did Tom Brady leave New England, he goes to Tampa, and in his first year, they win the Super Bowl. So, not only
did they win the Super Bowl in his first year there. Y'all go to the playoffs and you get shit beat down your leg against Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was against Buffalo. I honestly think it was Buffalo that beat shit down their leg. But even so, after Brady left, you had one playoff stint and an early exit at that. And then after that, you never taste the playoffs again. You've been going through so much stuff with these quarterbacks. You had Cam Newton for a stint. That did pan out well. To the point where you said, okay, we're done with you, Cam. We got Mac Jones. We're going to put him in the rotation now. We're going to put him as a starting quarterback. That didn't pan out. Then you had some opportunities with, what's his name? Bailey Zappi, whatever the hell his name is. That didn't pan out. You made all these free agent signings after Brady left, and nothing came out of it. Nothing. Not one player that y'all signed in free agency amounted to anything. That's on your watch. Being that you're the general manager, that's on your watch. So unfortunately, since Brady has been gone, Coach Belichick has been looking very, very shaky out here. Me, in my honest opinion, I still believe that he is the greatest head coach in NFL history. I still believe that. I truly believe that he's still the greatest coach in NFL history. You can't take away the resume. You just can't. You just can't. 8-time Super Bowl champion. He has 6 as a head coach, 2 as a defensive coordinator. 3-time AP Coach of the Year. He is on the NFL's 2000 All-Decade Team, which means he's the coach of that team. He is on the 2010s All-Decade Team. That means he's the head coach on that team. He's on the NFL 100th episode all-time team. I don't know how many coaches are on that team, but guess what? Coach Belichick is one of them. Okay? He has a 65% winning percentage. He has over 300 wins. I believe they were saying something about how, I think he was about 25 to 30 wins away from Don Shula's all-time record. Now, he has 333 in total if you want to include playoffs. But I think for the record, I think they're only going off a regular season. Me personally, he don't need the record. He's still the GOAT. Because you can have all those wins, but what type of hardware do you have? I believe Don Shula only has 1 Super Bowl. Coach Belichick has 6 of them. So, you know. And then the postseason record, 71%. He has a 71% winning percentage in the playoffs. Now, again, since Brady's been gone, he's only had 1 stint. I still truly believe that he is the GOAT of, you know, the NFL. I truly believe it. It's going to be different in Foxborough, definitely. But I honestly think that maybe it was time for a change. You know, this generation of football now, I just don't think that those players in that locker room was gravitating to Coach Belichick. I don't think they was gravitating to the Patriot way, you can say, as the players back then did. I honestly think that, you know, maybe it was time for a new voice. You know, me personally, I'd rather just see him retire. But in my honest opinion, I know he's not just going to retire. The man loves football too much. He loves the game
too much. Too much. The man took a $25 per week job as an assistant to the Baltimore Colts in 1975. He was an assistant special teams coach for the Detroit Lions. These are all the stints he had before he went to the New York Giants. He also was an assistant special teams coach and defensive assistant for the Denver Broncos. These are all stints. Those are three stints that he had in the NFL before he joined Bill Parcells as their defensive coordinator for the New York Giants. So the man has basically been in the NFL since 1976. Since 1976, he has been in the NFL. But all the success started when he became a part of the New York Giants. So, I mean, it's going to be different in Foxborough. It's definitely going to be different. There are a lot of vacancy spots right now with coaching in the NFL. It's a lot. I think it's about a good 7. You got the Panthers, you got the Commanders, you got the Chargers, you got the Titans, you got the Falcons, you got the Raiders, and you got the Seahawks. See, me and my honest opinion, and when the rumors were speculating that this might be his last year in New England, I posted on my Facebook page. I could definitely see Coach Belichick in Los Angeles. Reason being is because the one thing we know about Coach Belichick is this. He got to have a quarterback. And I think that's where the decline of his mystique, it went away when he didn't have a quarterback. Didn't work out with Cam. Didn't work out with Mac Jones. Didn't work out with Zappy. Three quarterbacks after Brady and none of them panned out. Now, see, in L.A., you have a quarterback. Justin Herbert, if he can stay healthy. They have a running game. He has some receivers. You put Coach Belichick with that defense, the Chargers can do some shit. So, when the rumblings came out that this might be his last year, that was the first team that I initially said I can see him coaching. But now, with John Harbaugh possibly leaving the University of Michigan, who knows? It might be a tug of war between those two coaches as far as who's going to be the head coach of the Chargers. Because I honestly do not see Coach Belichick going to any of these other teams. I don't see him going to Seattle. I don't see him going to Atlanta. I don't see him going to the Titans. I damn sure don't see him going to the Panthers. And I don't see him going to the Commanders. Now, there is another team on here that, not for nothing, I could see him go to. And that's the Raiders. But see, I'm a little iffy with that one because I honestly believe that the Raiders' job should go to Antonio Pierce. Don't give me no bullshit about, oh, it's Coach Belichick. No. Antonio Pierce became the Raiders' coach during this season. Josh McDaniels took that team to shit. And as soon as he got fired, and as soon as Antonio Pierce became the head honcho, the Raiders played absolutely better football on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. To the point where the Raiders won games, and you went in that locker room. The team was just full of so much joy. Max Crosby smoking cigars, Davante Adams and the rest of the team just rejoicing after a victory. I don't want to hear nothing about Coach Belichick possibly getting that job. I truly believe that Antonio Pierce should be the head coach for that Raiders team. Simple and plain. So honestly, I honestly think that Coach Belichick, if he wants to continue to coach, which I think he will, I truly believe that he will come back and coach. I think the Charger job is for him. I honestly believe that the Charger job is for him. Now, if Jim Harbaugh decides that he's not leaving, then it's really his. Now, if Jim Harbaugh decides that he's leaving Michigan after winning this national championship, then things can get a little dicey. But I honestly think that that Charger job is for Coach Belichick if he wants it. Because trust and believe, they'll give it to him. They'll definitely give it to him. But this is not a thank you, Coach Belichick, because he's not retiring. You know, this is just something that I needed to speak on, being that he left, you know, a team that he was with for damn near a quarter century. 24 years. Kobe number. That's crazy. We're in 2024, and he leaves New England after 24 years. But I'm quite sure the fans in New England, I'm sure the fans in Boston, I'm sure the fans in Foxborough will miss Coach Belichick. Like he said in his interview, his press conference, he's going to always be a Patriot. That goes without saying. He's going to always be a Patriot. But this is just the case where him and Mr. Kraft felt that it was time for him to go somewhere else. And let's see what happens. Now let's get to the one that I was shocked with. And that would be Coach Nick Saban. Now, I'm at work, cleaning my rooms, doing what I do. You know what I'm saying? I do environmental work. You know what I'm saying? I'm cleaning rooms, doing what I do. And I get an ESPN alert saying that Alabama head coach Nick Saban is retiring. I had to close my eyes and open them up again to make sure what I was reading was correct. It's true. He's retiring. Now, for me, there was never no doubt in my mind. I never had a doubt in my mind that he wouldn't come back next season. I just felt, okay, another college football playoff berth. They lose in the semifinals. Okay, next year they'll be better. They'll be one of the top teams in the country. They'll be back, because let's be real. The college football playoff has been in effect since 2014. I honestly think it's only been 2 years where Alabama wasn't in it. To the point where you had people out there calling it the Alabama Invitational. Because damn near every year, Alabama was in it. Whether they won the national championship or they didn't, they were in the college football playoff except for 2 years. And it just so happened the 2 years that they weren't in it. Well, actually, no. It was 1 year they wasn't in it. They played Michigan in, I think, the Outback Bowl and beat them. And then I think it was last year they didn't make it. And I forgot who they played in the Sugar Bowl. I think it was Kansas State. I think they played Kansas State in the Sugar Bowl, and they beat them. And then now they make it. And that's it. Now his career is over. Again, I spoke of one GOAT
in the NFL. Now it's only right that I speak of the GOAT in college football, because don't get it fucked up. Old Saint Nick is the GOAT of head coaches in college football. Respectfully, it's not Lou Holtz. Respectfully, it's not Bobby Baldwin. Respectfully, it's not Bear Bryant. It's none of those coaches. It's Old Saint Nick. In 17 seasons, he's won 6 national championships. Now, his first one was with LSU early in his career as a college football head coach. I believe my man Marcus Spears, a.k.a. Swaggoo, was a part of that. That's when it was the BCS. Remember it was the, you know, the BCS where, you know,
you had the percentage of you were a number one team or a number two team. A complicated system for that matter. I'm glad they went away with it, but that's neither here nor there. That's when the BCS era was in play. He leaves LSU, then goes to Alabama,
and then just runs ruckshop after that. Non-conference titles. 6 national championships for Coach St. Nick. 2-time college football coach of the year. Now remember, he's been coaching for 28 years. 28 years. 5-time SEC coach of the year. He has 19 bowl wins. 292 wins in total. 11 SEC championships. 11. 11 of them things. He has an 80% win percentage. 80. 80. And peep this number. 49 players in the first round of the NFL draft. That means, remember, he coached at Alabama. 49 of his players were selected in the first round of the NFL draft.
I could name a few of them for you. I could name a few of them. The Julio Joneses of the world, the Devontae Smiths, Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram, you know, Amari Cooper, shit. It's a long list
of names. Tua, for that matter. Coach St. Nick's resume was something amazing. Something amazing. And he only had 29 losses.
That's very impressive. Very impressive. What's so crazy is when you think of head coaches, they always get compared, right? I did not know of the close relationship between Coach Belichick
and Nick Saban. And since I'm on the subject of preaching how many division titles and conference titles that Nick Saban got, I totally forgot to mention how many Coach Belichick got. 17 division titles. 17. 17 division titles. 17. He has 9. 9. AFC championships. 9. Now, obviously, he got 6 Super Bowl rings, so 3 of them he lost. Amazing records by both of these guys. Amazing records. And for some reason, them two get compared a lot. Come to find out, old St. Nick was a part of Coach Belichick's coaching staff in the NFL. I believe when he was with the Cleveland Browns. Nick Saban was a part of that coaching staff. Hell, I think it's a documentary out there somewhere with these two as well. I did not know that they had a close relationship like that. I just thought that they put these two coaches together because they were somewhat similar, and let's do a documentary on them. I did not think that they was that close like that, but that's what's up, though, because from one great to another, you know, I just think it's dope. But, I will say thank you to Coach St. Nick, though, because he's retiring. I can definitely see him doing some color commentary if he sees fit. I can definitely see him doing some college football game day. I could definitely see him on the SEC network, you know, talking about college football and his capacity. I'm not gonna lie, though, man.
A part of me thinks that this NIL thing might have got him to leave. Because let's be real. Ever since all these players started getting what they was getting, Alabama ain't been winning. Yeah, man, when them NILs came into play, Alabama hasn't been winning no national championships as of late. In fact, I think their last national championship was... was it 2018? I think 2018 might have been their last national championship. Let me check that out. Let me look that up. I think that might have been their last national championship. Let me see. Let me see. I honestly think that might have been their last national championship. Oh, no. 2020 was their last national championship. They beat Ohio State. In fact, they dog walked them. And then the next year, they lost to Georgia. So that was their last national championship game, period. Oh, okay. But yeah.
Ever since these NIL deals came into play, old St. Nick and Alabama ain't been winning as of late. So could this be the reason on why he left? I mean, listen, at the end of the day, if you really think about it, the man has nothing left to prove.
The man is 72 years old. He done paid his dues already. What else is it to do? Like, what else? You already have the most championships. What else could you possibly want to conquer in college football? It's Coach Prime's time now. Let's see what he does. But, yes, I will say thank you to Coach St. Nick. I will. See, he's retiring, so I'm saying thank you to Coach St. Nick. Thank you for just being one of the, making Alabama one of the powerhouses for years. You know, when you thought of Alabama, you definitely thought of them being one of the top five teams in college football. When you thought of, you know, recruiting, they were always one of the top recruiting classes, you know, and that's a testament to St. Nick. Now, I read something yesterday where two players decommitted once the news broke out that St. Nick was retiring. I wouldn't be surprised if more players do that. Because now that he's not there, why would you want to go there? Alabama's going to take a big hit with St. Nick not being there. They're going to have to bring somebody else in. And I ain't talking about somebody that's on the staff now. They're going to have to get one of them big dogs. They're going to have to get a Dabo Sweeney. They're going to have to get one of these coaches from one of these other schools to leave there to come to Alabama. But we're going to see what happens. But again, overall, thank you, St. Nick. We will definitely miss you. For sure. Definitely. And then the last coach, who I think, you know, unnecessarily has been left under the shuffle. He's kind of been lost in the translation now that Coach Belichick announced his retirement announced that he was parting ways with New England, because not for nothing, he was the first person, Pete Carroll was the first coach, he was the first coach that broke the news. I got the alert while I was at work saying that
he was parting ways with the Seattle Seahawks. He was the first one that started this. Then the news broke about St. Nick. And that was all the talk about them two. But then one Coach Belichick announced his. Man, oh man, oh man. Everything went haywire after that. It was like, Pete Carroll, who? Because all the talk went from Coach Belichick and St. Nick. It was F. Pete Carroll now, but I can't do that to him. I can't do that to him. I have too much respect for him. I have admired what he has done as a head coach. Obviously, you know, I remember his stint as a head coach for the Jets in 94. I remember him being a defensive coordinator for the 49ers. I remember him being the head coach for the New England Patriots. In fact, I think the year after the Patriots went to the Super Bowl against the Packers, which I think was Super Bowl 31, if I'm not mistaken, I think that next year he took over as head coach. Because I think Bill Parcells went to the Jets, and then Pete Carroll became the head coach for the Patriots. So I remember that. We all remember his stint at USC. We all remember those years, right? And, of course, his stint with the Seattle Seahawks, which, you know, is legendary. He's on the 2010s All-Decade team. The same as Coach Belichick, right? He has a 58% winning percentage in the NFL. I'm only going to speak on NFL because he's not retiring. He's just parting ways with Seattle. So I don't want to make this to where I'm tallying up his career because he's only parting ways with Seattle. But if I'm going to keep it funky, which is what I do on here, I have to keep it funky. I honestly believe that ever since that Super Bowl against the Patriots, when they did not hand that ball off to Marshawn Lynch, the Seattle Seahawks were never the same. They weren't the same as a team. They wasn't the same as a coaching staff. They wasn't the same as a front office. I honestly believe that. I think that Super Bowl, where they did not give that... Now, again, I'm a Patriot fan at the time. So I'm thankful they didn't give it to him. Because that gave my man Brady his fourth ring, which helped him get six with New England, which in turn gave him seven with Tampa. But this is not about Brady. This is about Pete Carroll. The point is this. I truly believe that after that Super Bowl and how they lost and how dramatic they lost, that team was never the same again. Then you fast forward to a few years later, you know, there was rumblings that him and Russell Wilson wasn't getting along. It was a power struggle between the two. I thought he did a damn good job last year with Geno Smith as the quarterback. I thought he did a good job this year. So I'm very much shocked that he's parting ways with the Seattle Seahawks. But see, now the question is, where does he go? I already told y'all where I think Coach Belichick should go. So out of all these teams that are looking for new head coaches, who do I think Pete Carroll should go to? Who do I think he should go? I'm really trying to think of where Pete Carroll can go. I'm really thinking that. Out of all of these teams, again, I'm not putting the Raiders because that should be Antonio Pierce's job. Simple and plain. So I'm not including them. I wouldn't mind Pete Carroll coaching the Falcons. I wouldn't mind seeing him coach the Falcons. So, yeah, I can see Coach Belichick going to the Chargers unless Jim Harbaugh decides he's leaving Michigan. And then I can see Pete Carroll coaching the Falcons. I'm not mentioning Raiders because, again, I believe that should be Antonio Pierce's job. Mark Davis, Tom Brady, because guess what? You got a little ownership in that team. Make the right decision and make Antonio Pierce the head coach for the Las Vegas Raiders. Take that interim tag off and make him the head coach. It's that simple. But, yeah. Three coaches have parted ways from their respected teams. So since I done touched the realms of those, I might as well get into what's about to go down this weekend, which is the NFL playoffs. Yes, the playoffs are now here. The playoffs are now here. It is time that we separate the contenders from the pretenders. It is time. Now, I do want to say this. Y'all know how much I have a disdain for the Dallas Cowboys. Y'all know I hate Cowboy fans. It's not the team that I hate. It's the fans. I love to see them sad. I love to see them hurt. I love to see them disappointed. I love to see them talk all this shit on Facebook, and then when they lose, they hide. I like that shit. It's fun for me. But I'm not gonna lie to you. I honestly think that this will be the year that the Dallas Cowboys will make the NFC Championship game. I truly do. I believe that if they get through this wild card game against the Green Bay Packers, which I believe they will, I think they go on to the divisional round because, again, the Cowboys have two wild card. They got the number two seed, which means they get two home playoff games. The only way they host the NFC Championship game, if they get there, is if the Niners lose in the divisional round. Now, that I don't see happening. I see them playing the Niners in the championship game, which means they would have to go to Levi Stadium. I don't see them winning that. But I will say this, though. I do believe that the Cowboys will beat the Green Bay Packers. I believe that. And I actually think it will be very convincing. I truly believe that it's going to be convincing. I think it's going to be a blowout. I think the Cowboys dog walked them. And there you have it. I have been very impressed with Jordan Love this season. You know, it was a little iffy. It was a little question mark about him at the start of the season. But he definitely made up for it towards the latter end of the season. I say the Cowboys will beat the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs, in the wild card game on Sunday. We got the Bills and the Steelers. Bills Mafia going up against Pittsburgh. Now, congrats are in order to Coach Mike Tomlin because, once again, since he has been a head coach in the NFL, the man has not had one losing season. Not one losing season. In all of these years, he has not had one losing season. That's amazing. But now they're going up against Bills Mafia. There's even rumblings saying that Coach Tomlin could possibly coach somewhere next season. Just think about that. Now, if he was to leave Pittsburgh, damn. You got all these great Hall of Fame coaches leaving franchises that you thought they would retire with, and they wind up leaving. Now, me, honestly, I don't know if I see that happening, but I do see this happening, though. I do see the Buffalo Bills getting a win against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I definitely see it. I don't trust Mason Rudolph as their quarterback. Now, Najee Harris has been playing very well these last two games as the running back for the Steelers. I mean, I wish I would have started him on my fantasy team. Maybe he would have helped me win the championship, but that's neither here nor there. TJ Watt has already been confirmed out for this wild card game. So that definitely doesn't help the case for them to win this game. So yes, the Sunday games. I have the Cowboys beating the Packers, and I have the Bills beating the Steelers. Now let's get to the Saturday games. We got the Browns and we got the Texans. Honestly, I don't know where I'm going with this one because I'm very proud of Houston. I believe CJ Stroud is Offensive Rookie of the Year. I also believe that DeMarco Ryans is Coach of the Year. For him to take this Texans team and be 10-7 and make the playoffs, and not only do you make the playoffs, you win your division. Oh yeah, you definitely got to win Coach of the Year in my eyes. You have to. Because at the start of the season, if you said that you knew that the Texans was going to be in the playoffs, you're lying. You're lying out your ass. Nobody thought that shit. I don't even think Houston fans believe that. And what C.J. Stroud has been able to do. Now remember, it was this whole thing about who should be the number one pick. Should it be Bryce Young? Should it be C.J. Stroud? I guarantee you this. I know them Texans fans is proud of their quarterback. I don't know if the Panthers can say it about theirs. But then you can't sleep on the Browns. What Joe Flacco has done has been amazing. For him to be sitting on his couch, falling asleep, to now rejuvenating the Browns season and getting them to the playoffs when they had Deshaun Watson, and then he gets hurt. All these, you know, he gets hurt. All this money they didn't gave him, he gets hurt. He's out for the year. The Browns are on their fourth quarterback, and didn't lose a beat, and still wind up making the playoffs. Myles Garrett in that defense. I honestly don't know where I'm going with this game. I really don't know. I honestly do not know where I'm going with this game, but see, this is what I'm going to do. Matty Matt, this is for you, my guy. Big Cleveland Brown fan. I'm going to go with the Browns to get the win. I wouldn't even call it an upset. This wouldn't be an upset. For me, an upset would be Green Bay beating the Cowboys. That would be an upset. This game right here could go either way. I'm going to go with the Browns for this reason. Experience. Now, yes, the Browns don't make the playoffs as much. But in the past few years, they've made the playoffs more than the Texans have. So, yes, the Texans does have this home game. And I know that that crowd is going to be in arms when they come out that tunnel. But I believe that Joe Flacco, who, listen, we know what he does when it's playoff time. We all remember what he did with the Ravens. Now, I get it. That was many years ago. Yes, it was.
But at the end of the day, he's battle tested, Super Bowl champion and all. So off that, I'm going to go off of the experience, and I'm going to pick the Browns to beat the Texans. And then last, we got the Dolphins and the Chiefs. Listen, this season, we've had a love-hate relationship for the Miami Dolphins, right? When they played good teams, they lost. When they played bad teams, they did what they were supposed to do. I think the only team this season that they played, that they had a winning record, was the Cowboys. I think that's the only team that they played this season that they beat with a winning record. Everybody else had a losing record. They got dog walked by the Ravens. They lost to the Bills twice. Do we not forget? Oh, no. They blew out the Broncos. My fault. Pardon itself. But the point is this. The teams that they were supposed to beat, they beat. But when it came time to them playing teams with over 500 records, they lost. Except the Cowboys. And now with them saying what this weather is supposed to be, they talking about it's going to be in the negatives. Do I really think the Dolphins is going to Kansas City and winning that game? Hell fucking no. Now, I know Tyreek Hill is a former Chief. And he played them earlier this year, which they lost. I'm quite sure he will want nothing more than to beat them where it counts the most, and that's the playoffs. I just don't see that happening. Hell no. I do not see that happening at all. But yes, I have the Browns beating the Texans. I have the Chiefs beating the Dolphins. I have the Cowboys beating the Packers. And I have the Bills beating the Steelers. So those are my picks for this upcoming weekend in the NFL. Now, before I go, I forgot. I got to give Coach St. Nick his flowers a little bit more. Yes, I said how many wins he has in total, which is fifth ever. Yes, he has 7 national championships. He's also coached 4 Heisman winners. 4. He's also 40 assistant coaches. He's had 40 assistant coaches on his squad that have gone on to be head coaches. 40! That's insane. 40 assistants. And they have all gone on to be head coaches. That's amazing. That is hella amazing. Now, just one side of NBA news. I got to speak on this. I didn't know about this. My father actually brought it to my attention yesterday while I was at work. He called me while I was at work. And the first question he asked me was, how do I feel about Kawhi's new deal? First of all, I didn't even know Kawhi got a new deal until my father said it. So I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I read up on it. He signed the contract extension with the Clippers. But then part of me said to myself, I'm not really surprised. Because for those of y'all that don't know, the Clippers are about to open a new stadium. Well, a new arena. Stadiums is for football. Arena is for basketball. They're about to open a new arena soon. I don't know if it's next year or the year after, but in order for you to open up that arena, your stars have to be aligned. So, I'm not surprised with this extension. You definitely want Kawhi Leonard to be a part of that team. You want him to be a part of that franchise to open up that arena. So,
I'm not surprised. I'm actually happy for Kawhi Leonard. Now the only thing is, can his ass stay healthy? That's it. That's the only thing left. If he can stay healthy. Other than that, I'm happy for it. I'm very much happy for it. You know, I'm looking at some tweets. They said during training camp, Kawhi Leonard said his intention has been to remain with Clippers. So he got what he wanted. And not for nothing, since he's been a Clipper, the man is averaging 25 points a game. He is averaging almost 7 rebounds a game. He's one of those, well, I can't say he is one of those because he's not a part of that class yet, because technically he's an 88% free throw shooter. So he's 2% off of being in that 50, 40, 90 range. You know what I'm saying? But I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. I've always liked Kawhi, except for when he left my Spurs, but that's neither here nor there. But I'm happy for him. And not for nothing, the Clippers are looking very good this season. They're looking very good this season. I'm not even going to hold you. It didn't look good in the beginning. But Tyronn Lue did say, give it time. And right now, they're the fourth seed in the Western Conference. They're 24-13. So, you know, let's see what happens with the Clippers. But it's a wrap for this episode. I think I've stayed on it enough. But I do want to give a shout out. And this one is big. This is a big shout out. A huge shout out. And that shout out will go to the Miami Heat. I know y'all said to yourself, wait, why is he shouting out the Miami Heat? I'm going to tell you why. The Miami Heat gave Eric Spoelstra an extension for head coach of the Miami Heat. They gave him a record-breaking $100 million contract extension to remain the head coach for the Miami Heat. Now, I know y'all saying to yourself, okay, he got an extension. Congratulations to him. So what you shouting him out for? I'm going to tell you the punchline part. They waited until Eric Spoelstra's divorce was finalized to give him that money. I'm going to say that again. They waited until his divorce was finalized, and then they gave him the contract extension. Because guess what? Had they gave that to him during those proceedings, Miss Spoelstra, or whatever her last name is, she would have got a portion of that. So Pat Riley and them said, you know what? We're going to wait till your divorce is finalized, and then we're going to give you your bag. So then that way, all that money is yours, my man. All that money is yours. Now, that's some real shit right there. That is some real ass shit for your ass. So, Miami Heat, I got to shout you out for that. I have to. I got to shout you out for that. That was some stand-up shit. That was some stand-up shit. So, yes, shout out to the Miami Heat for making that move. So, yes, it's a wrap for this episode. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Y'all know where y'all can find me. I am on all, well, not all platforms, but I'm on Spotify. I'm on Apple Podcasts. I'm on iTunes. I'm on iHeartRadio. I'm on Amazon Music. Those are the apps where you can find your boy. I'm on Facebook. Just look me up, Dre Day. I'm on X, Dre Day 1985. The link is in the bio. Dre Day 1985 on Instagram, Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast on Instagram. So once again, thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Once again, happy, happy new year to everybody. I hope it's going well for y'all so far to start this new year. I hope nobody is, you know, going in their Cat Williams phase and
airing out dirty laundry and shit. Because that boy Cat Williams got people. Cat Williams got some people in they shit right now, man. But once again, man, thank y'all for y'all support, man. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. Y'all stay safe out there. Y'all be safe out there. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. How did I forget about the Eagles and the Buccaneers? God damn. Wow. How did I forget that? Now, I know y'all gonna say to yourself when y'all listen to the first part of this, wait, he only mentioned four games. But see, this is the beauty part of bonus content. So the bonus content is me giving my prediction for the Bucs and the Eagles. I totally forgot about this game. But can you blame me, though? It's on a Monday night. Can you blame me? But it's MLK Day. And it just so happens I'm off on MLK. So I will be in tuned and I will be watching this game. But I have to pick a winner. And with that being said, listen, Philly has been struggling as of lately. I want to say probably the last six games they've been struggling. The struggle actually started ever since they played the Chiefs. They've been struggling, right? Tampa, listen, they could have lost that game against Tampa. I mean, they could have lost that game to Carolina, but they wound up winning. They won the division, which helps them get a home playoff game, right? We got the Eagles and we got Tampa. Now, Baker has been very impressive this season. I will admit that. I'm not the biggest Baker Mayfield fan, but I will say that he did a good job this season. He did a good job this season being the quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He did a good job. Over 4,000 yards. 10 touchdowns. Well, 28 touchdowns. 10 sacks. Gotta give him credit. Mike Evans, future Hall of Famer. Another 1,000-yard season. Chris Godwin, another 1,000-yard season. I mean, he only had 2 touchdowns, but, you know, it is what it is. If I have to pick, well, there's no I have to pick. I gotta pick. I am going to go I'm gonna go with Tampa. Listen, the Eagles have been struggling this season. I don't know what's going on with them. Jalen Hurts is not healthy, as we all know. I think it's a close game, but I actually think that Tampa pulls it off. I think Tampa pulls off the victory. Would I call this an upset? Yeah, because, I mean, for all intents and purposes, record-wise, yes, it will be considered an upset if Tampa wins. See, last year they had a playoff game at home, and they lost to the Cowboys. Unfortunately, that was the game that got my man Brady to retire for the second time. I think this year they win. I think this year, this Monday night, I think they win. So I got the Bucs beating the Eagles on Monday Night Football. So there you have it. That is my bonus content for episode 317. Now I can fully get up out of here. So once again, thank y'all for y'all support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. God bless. Peace and love. Y'all be safe out there. Your boy is out of here.
What up? What up? What up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN index, an annual financial survey. Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com. Or call him at 443-810-0384.